Anyhow, I'd like to just go ahead and ditto kind of what Brother Allen said a minute ago about being thankful for this opportunity to come here and do this. I remember going to things I did similar when I was young, and now it's on the other side. It's kind of weird because I guess I'm not young anymore like I used to be. But although Matt did look at me when he said young people, he looked right in the eye when he said it. But he forgot I turned 43 too yesterday. So me and him are in the exact same boat. But anyhow, yeah, it is, man, it's just a privilege. It really is. And I'm really happy to be here and to participate in this. And I'm really glad for the work that you guys are doing here and trying to get this off the ground and make this an annual event. I know there's ones like this similar over the country, or throughout, well, the region, I should say, that I'm aware of. And just talking to people who are very involved in that, they said the same thing. When they first started out, it wasn't that popular, wasn't that big. They didn't get a lot of outside support, but they kept their head up, they kept going, and eventually, you know, it turned into something really big. And I really hope and pray that's what happens here, to have something like this very local. And as I scan the audience again, I know about everyone that is here. And again, I appreciate each and every one of you who's played a part in my life and for the opportunity again here by the elders to come speak for you guys. When Mike gave me the options, I chose Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And that's a story that has many, many lessons in it. I mean, just there's a short story about it, and we could really talk for a long time about different ones. So what I'm kind of doing, my attempt is this morning, I should say, is to kind of bring all them together in to one lesson and kind of just hit the tip of the iceberg of each of them with the main points. And Genesis chapter 39 is where our text is going to be taken from here shortly, as we will read. But, you know, we all have troubles, and bad things happen to everyone. In fact, some bad things happen to more people, or certain people may seem like, other than ourselves. But sometimes we can be in that situation. You know, hopefully we're not like the old man who got a phone call from his doctor, who answered his phone. He said, hello. He goes, yes, sir, this is your doctor. He goes, I got some good news, or I got bad news, I got worse news. The old man's like, well, give me the bad news first. He goes, the bad news is, you're going to die. God's like, well, what could be worse than that? He said, yeah, he goes, you got 48 hours to live. I've been trying to get a hold of you for 2 days. See, that's a bad situation for somebody to be in. But us as individuals, we can get ourselves into some pretty hairy or sticky situations sometimes. And what we have to remember in those situations is, when we realize it, is think to ourselves, how did I get in this situation? Was it by my own fault? Was it because I didn't flee temptation? Was it because I just had this desire or this temptation, this, you know, lustful desire, and I got myself in this situation? And as you sit down and you think about it, a lot of times, most of the time, it's because you're there because you wanted to be there. You had an opportunity to get out of it, but you chose not to. And that's what I'm going to try to point out this morning as we go through this story of Joseph. And we know Joseph's story. We know what's where he started out. We know that his brothers, you know, were jealous of him. We know that they threw him in the pit. You know, and when Joseph was in that pit, you know, and they decided to sell him, to Joseph, he thought, well, you know what, it's better than the alternative. However, this is still going to be pretty bad for me. But you know, in the long run, that deliverance from that traveling group that bought him, that was his deliverance. Because look what it led to over time. Also reminds me of the story about the soldier during the Civil War who was running from his enemies. And he came on a series of caves, and he hid in one of them. As he hid there, over time, he said he heard his enemy coming at him. And he's praying to God, God, please deliver me from this situation. Please let my comrades show up. Get me out of this mess that I'm in. Well, as he's standing there, he sees a spider. The spider starts spinning a web in front of the opening of the cave. He's like, I don't need a spider, God. I need a bear. I need something to prevent these people from coming in, looking for me. Well, as they approach him, he hears them going in all the caves, and he can see them at the entrance of the cave. He's hiding in the back of it. And he said the guy looks in, and he turns to his buddy, and he says, he's definitely not in there. He goes, the spider web's not broke down. You see? His prayer was answered, but not the way he thought it should be answered. God used the spider to deliver that man. I don't know if that story is true or not, but the point is there. I think the point should be well taken. So in Joseph's situation, when he was sold into slavery, it may not have been what he thought was the right thing, but as time went on, we know that that deliverance came disguised as that parade of merchants who bought him and took him to Egypt. Now, here he goes into this situation where he is sold to Potiphar, who's an Egyptian officer here, and he goes in to work with them. Now, think about it. He didn't know the culture. He didn't know the customs. He didn't know how to speak the language. And he has in a house with a wife who had too much time on her hands. So this is where we might expect Joseph to take a turn for the worse, maybe spiraling into depression, into bitterness, into debauchery. But what we find is the prosperity of Joseph. Now to our text. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1, it says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and all in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had, except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand.'" Verse 9, pay attention. "There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. But you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, in verse 1, Joseph arrived in Egypt, as I said a minute ago, as a slave. And a few verses later, we see that he is now head of over Potiphar's house. He's in charge. You know, we hear the old saying, when life gives you lemon, what, make lemonade? Well, what did Joseph do? Joseph was making lemon shake-ups. He had a juice bar. He was making a fortune because of where he came from and where he was in such a short amount of time. That's what he was doing. Now, what do we do when situations like that come in our life? Do we just throw our hands up and quit? And say, oh, woe was me. Look at the attitude of Joseph as well in verse 9 we're going to talk about here in a minute. I want to repeat it one more time. I got ahead of myself a little bit there. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph was a young man here. I know this is a youth lectureship, and I want to bring that out. He was a young man here. He was like he was handsome in form, you know, a lot like Saul was in a math lesson as well. So these guys were attractive. They were appealing to people. And because of that, situations arose. And the situation we're hearing, Joseph was one where his master's wife was wanting to commit fornication with him. How do we explain, though, this? How do we explain Joseph doing what he did by being a slave and working his way up to the master's, as head of the master's house? Well, it's very easy. And it's found in the first sentence in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. If you missed it there, it's mentioned four times total. Throughout this chapter. And I want you to remember those words as you go throughout this lesson. And actually remember those words as you go throughout your life as far as that goes. The Lord was with Joseph. That's why Joseph was able to do what he did. He put his trust in the Lord. Now, Joseph was obviously a pure individual. He was a pure man. He had his mind right. He had he had his head on straight, didn't he? Because, and Matt said, in the world in which we live in today, and the issues that young people face and the younger kids here will face one day, is they're going to go the opposite direction the way Joseph went. They're not going to run. I can promise you, if that happened to a man today and he did what Joseph did, he went to work, he told his co-workers what happened, they said, "You ran from that?" Let me tell you what would happen to him. He would be ridiculed. He'd be laughed at. He'd be made fun of. He'd be called names. I guarantee it. That's what would happen. Because that is the world in which we live. But Joseph maintained his purity. He maintained his integrity. And he maintained his character. But most importantly, he maintained his good favor with God. He was still in God's corner. Verses 10 through 12 of our text. Let's pick up our reading there. We just read verse 9. Let's pick up verse 10. It says, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went in to the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside that she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. I'm going to stop there for a second. Here is a situation that Joseph could have been in where he realized, you know what, no one's around. Scripture tells us none of them were in the house. So if he wanted to do this, he could have done it. But he chose not to. Joseph didn't want to be around the woman. Why? Because of the poison of what she was. The poison of what she was. She was bad news for him, and he knew that. Basically, when she called, he didn't answer. When she sent him a text message, he didn't respond. When she entered the room, he fled it. He avoided her like the plague. That's how you handle temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which I know wasn't around at this time. However, it's around for us today, which is a very, very powerful verse for us to take heed of. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, at verse 13, which I'm sure most of us probably here know what it says, but we're going to read it anyhow. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also leave the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will always leave that way of escape, young people. If you find yourself in this situation, there's a way of escape. What did Joseph do the first time? What did he say in verse 9? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was his attitude. Second time, when he's in a situation where it's more of an opportunity where no one is around, he runs. He found the way of escape. First, he verbally rebuked her. Said, no, thank you. Second time, she's not getting his hint. He says, all right, I'm out of here. I ran. That's exactly what he did. What are the ways of escape in your life? Not as young people, as adults as well, as far as that goes. Not just with this situation, but any type of temptation that we may face. That verse applies to us just as with anybody as far as that goes. But do we take advantage of it? Your friends call you up on the phone. They want you to go out and do something you know you shouldn't be doing. Some girl texts you and wants you to meet somewhere and do things you know you shouldn't be doing. Or some boy texts you, young ladies, and asks you to meet them to do things you know you shouldn't be doing. What's the way of escape right there? A, you don't answer your phone. A, you hang up the phone. B, you block them. You have nothing to do with them. You go tell your parents. You do something. There's always that way of escape. Always. You're out with your friends. Some of them have been drinking alcohol. You know you shouldn't be riding with people like that, but you feel the pressure maybe. I don't want to be the only one not riding with them. What's that way of escape? Pick up the phone and call somebody. Don't get in that car with them. The way of escape is always there. All you have to do is go to it, find it, and take advantage of it. Because the Scripture just told us, Paul did in 1 Corinthians, listen, there's always going to be that way of escape for you. Always. Joseph found two ways to do that. Now, our story is going to take an interesting twist here. We're going to see that even after Joseph did the right things, things don't go as we think they should. You know, the fourth Psalm of verse 5 says this, do what is right as a sacrifice to the Lord and trust the Lord. You do what's right for the Lord, you need to trust Him. Because what we find out here is after Joseph fled and left his cloak or the piece of his robe in her hand, a plan all of a sudden came into action. Potiphar's wife came up with a plan. Let's pick up our reading at verse 13. And so it was when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and fled outside, here's the plan, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them saying, see, he has brought to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with the words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. Now here's Joseph being framed. Here's a man who did the right thing, who did exactly what he was supposed to do, but for some reason, Potiphar's wife was frustrated. Well, we know the reason why, but she was frustrated with him over that. She wasn't getting what she wanted. She was used to getting what she wanted. Now she wasn't getting it. And because of that, she goes, all right, I'm going to make him pay for this. Makes up a plan. Tries to frame Joseph, so to speak. We pick up our reading. So it was in verse 19. When his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now let's stop there for a minute. Unfortunately, doing the right thing doesn't guarantee a life free of suffering, obviously, because punishment came to Joseph here for doing the right thing, as I said. You know, there's an old saying out there that no good deed goes unpunished. My friends, when she told Potiphar about the situation we read, he was furious. He was thrown into prison. The truth is that doing the right thing can be very unpopular at times. But Joseph only cared to be popular with one person, and that was God. He didn't care if he was popular with Potiphar. He didn't care if he was popular among his peers. He was more worried about doing the right thing. Peter knew something about this as well when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 14. I couldn't let this verse slip through either. 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James. It says this. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. I'll stop right there, the first part. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. But listen, you do the right thing by fleeing these temptations, and I don't know, I'll put it in today's terms, I guess, if you're made fun of, if you're laughed at, if you're on social media and you're bullied or whatever it is, my friend, you're suffering for righteousness' sake. That's a blessing. Yeah, your friends may laugh at you, you know, whatever. But you're fine with God. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Because you know what? When Joseph did the right thing, when it looked bleak to him, when he was sitting there in prison, thinking, you know what? Well, maybe he was thinking, I don't know. You know, maybe I should give up. Listen, there's times in our lives, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. I guarantee you, everyone in this room has been in a spot where you just want to get a blanket, sit down your lazy boy, rip open a box of Twinkies, and just indulge. You know, just have yourself a good time with them Twinkies, right? Yeah, because sometimes you just want to quit. Things just aren't going the way you want them to go. Joseph may be thinking to himself, why on earth am I in this situation? Here I was, head of this household. Now I'm framed, and now I'm in prison. Well, the Lord was with Joseph, right? Joseph had found favor. I want you to remember that. And I want you to insert your name here as well. That the Lord found favor in you. And put your name there. Why? Because you're doing the right thing. Because the same Lord that was with Joseph is the same Lord that we worship today. As we continue our reading, and to wrap this chapter up here, it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. So even when Joseph was in this prison, the Lord was with him. And Joseph was blessed in that situation. So if you are in a pit, so to speak, when you think there's nothing else to go wrong, remember Joseph. Remember, he was a young man. Remember that the Lord found favor in Joseph because Joseph did the right thing. So let's consider a couple more things here. As I talked about in verse 9, I talked about Joseph's attitude to have. You know, if you look through the Old Testament, you can find some pretty good attitudes. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. What did Joshua say? Hey, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, right? What about Abraham and Isaac? When Isaac's looking around, he said, hey, Dad, here's the altar, here's the fire, where's the offering? What was Abraham's reply? The Lord will provide. Another great attitude that we can have there as well. Now, Abraham and Lot, when there's strife between their herdsmen, what did he say? Hey, let there be no strife between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. Let there be no strife. See, the Old Testament is packed full of attitudes that we can have, Joseph especially. But let's not forget the other ones that are out there as well. Because all those attitudes that we have, what I just talked about, are godly attitudes. They're pleasing to God. So remember, your attitude has everything to do with it. Everything. Remember, that way of escape is going to be there as well. Remember, in the beginning, Joseph had no idea that when he was sold, that was part of a much bigger plan. Joseph may have thought, well, I thought the Lord would see me through this in another way. But he didn't. Did it. Friends, when temptations arise, proper attitude is required. Joseph first rebuked Potiphar's wife, then he fled her. So I leave you with this morning before I offer the invitation. Young people, practice purity and integrity. Even when no one has shown you the same consideration. And don't worry about being punished for doing the right thing. Because in the end, God will reward you for it. And His love is faithful. I want to throw one more thing in there as well. Thinking back when I was a young person. Now, granted, there was no cell phones back then, so it wasn't as easy to get a hold of people. I put myself in some hairy situations because I didn't have the right attitude. I didn't want to flee for whatever reason it may be. Also, I was afraid maybe my mom and dad may get mad at me. I may get in trouble. I didn't want them to know I was out doing this or out doing that, or I was here or I shouldn't have been, whatever it may have been. Young people today, I can promise you, and you ask your parents, they'll tell you, they would much rather you call them up and say, Mom, Dad, I lied to you. I'm over here. I should have been over here, but listen, it's getting out of control. I want to come home. They'll love you more for that than get that midnight phone call saying, hey, your son or daughter's been killed in a car wreck. Although you may not have been doing nothing wrong. You may not have been drinking or smoking or whatever it was. You may have been doing none of that. You were just with the wrong people. But you paid the same price they did. Remember the attitude of Joseph. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Friends, we wrap this sermon up. Young people, we never want to close without offering an invitation. That's why I had Jordan read John 12, verse 48. As you guys know, by last time I preached here, I quoted it. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. Those Jesus' words that are spoken there. And I tied in with the lesson I did at Kettering about a month ago in John 6, 68. You know, when Peter says, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And six chapters later, we find out what those words of eternal life are going to do. They're going to judge us for the last day. So if you hear this morning, and you haven't obeyed the gospel, and you need to put yourself in the right place with Jesus, with God, this opportunity is extended to you. The baptism is ready. It's warm. Come forward. Confess. Be baptized in the water grave of baptism and have those sins washed away. But if you've done that, and you haven't had the proper attitude of Saul, as Joseph, come forward and ask for prayers for that. You may think that's odd to do. Let me tell you something. There's a man in New Carlisle who's still a member there, man. He would come forward and he would ask for prayer for that very reason. Right there. That's not what you typically come forward for. A lot of times what we think. You can come forward for anything. Come forward and ask for that.